dear brothers and sisters in Christ, considering the first reading today from 2 Maccabees, we might raise the question, what is the problem here? Is it that Antiochus is asking them to eat pork as opposed perhaps to lamb or beef or boiled carrots? If we were to judge by human reason alone, seeing that pork is edible, nutritious, and tasty, that many eat this food and suffer no ill consequences, judging by human reason alone, we would conclude that it is silly not to eat pork, much less to die rather than to eat pork. So was this mother, who saw her son killed before her, was she simply a foolhardy ideologue, preferring to see that her children die rather than give in to what seems like a tolerable request, that her sons eat the food that the king requests them to eat? Would any mother who, we think of mothers today who raise their children to avoid certain foods that she considers harmful, for instance, many mothers limit their children's intake of sugar, would any one of them prefer to see their child die rather than eat a chocolate bar? Of course not. If the only prohibition against sugar was a human precept, one of her own imposition, no less, of course she's going to suspend her rule in that case and save the life of her child. Yet this mother in Maccabees preferred to see not one of her children be put to death, but all seven of her sons put to death before her eyes, rather than see any one of them transgress the law. So we might ask, well, is that just an insanely disproportionate respect for the law? In this case, no, because she's considering not the will of men, a human law, but the will of God, a divinely imposed law. As a creature to whom the Creator has given not only life, but also to whom he has revealed himself through her ancestors, Abraham and Moses, and to whom he has given a law, she humbly and faithfully accepts God's will as her highest value, preferring nothing on this earth, nothing in this passing life, to the will of her Creator. So that's the crux of the problem with Antiochus's demand on the people of Israel. He's asking them to transfer their allegiance and their obedience from God, their Creator and Savior, to another human creature, a human institution, to abandon the law of God in order to comply with the law of man, man who has rejected the true God, man who has put himself in the place of God as the supreme legislator. Brothers and sisters, we are facing the same problem today. When we're told by men that in the name of religious liberty, for instance, we must uphold religious indifferentism, that false doctrine that holds that all religions have an equal right and an equal value, which implicitly denies the unique value of Christ and his sacrifice on the cross and his unique divine personhood as the incarnate Word, Son of God. To hold religious liberty as an absolute value above the truth is a human law, not a divine precept. We're being asked to accept a program, a human agenda, sustainable development goals put forth by the United Nations, which have as one of their primary objectives population control by means of contraception and abortion and the promotion of sexual anarchy, a lawlessness that disregards God's holy law, because that's, quote unquote, the will of the nations. We just heard today in our morning prayers, Psalm 47, God is king of all the earth. God is king over the nations. God reigns on his holy throne. The rulers of the earth belong to God who reigns over all. This is a truth that man should never forget. The mother of seven in Maccabees was able to hold in contempt the unjust law of man because she was beholden to the just and merciful God, her supreme legislator, in whom she had the firm hope of resurrection, as do we, in Christ, our King and our God. And we must follow him without moral compromise. Because as we heard in the gospel, in this parable of the king who returns to ask for an account, he will come again. And he expects us to have multiplied the gift of faith that he's given us. But if we squander it in fear, chasing human respect and worldly profit, instead of investing in Christian fidelity and virtue, then we may lose the little that we have and risk losing the greatest of all, eternal life. So, brothers and sisters, let us take courage from the mother of these seven sons in the book of Maccabees. Let us be faithful to God, and he will be faithful to us, and he will raise us up on the last day. Christ is our King. Let no human power come before him. Praise be Jesus and Mary.